times and places of doubt, fear, and suffering, how intuitively and loudly do we cry out for mercy? A love that gently forgives, restores, and anchors our togetherness. Perhaps how, like a father or mother, raise a child after they've fallen learning to skate or off their bicycle. We don't know why pain must be part of the human condition, only that it beckons us to our most secure places. C.S. Lewis said that pain insists on being attended to. He adds that God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our consciences, but shouts to us in our pain. Pain and suffering cannot be ignored. Thomas, in our gospel account today, has just endured the loss of his dear friend. Everyone who's lost a loved one knows how painful is that experience. Weakened by grief, Thomas is a person broken and in need of mercy, not judgment or labels. Who among us hasn't been in his place a time or two? Maybe it's a child who makes questionable decisions, or a parent who doesn't understand. Jesus even asked himself if it be possible the suffering closing in around him be avoided. What then are we to do with this type of deep soul suffering? Should we blame Thomas for not believing James and John? Imagine those two arguing over who among them was greatest, bringing their mother to fight their battles, or Peter frightened by a little schoolgirl in a garden, or Mary from Magdala doesn't even recognize Jesus barely 3 days absent. And these, the leaders of the community, no less. Thomas isn't frightened like they, nor is he holed up behind locked doors. Maybe people named Thomas just stick together. But could it be that Thomas responds more like the brothers in the parable of the prodigal son? And of course, it is mercy, not condemnation, Jesus teaches. The same mercy offered to all who are wounded, troubled, and broken. Receive the Holy Spirit, breath and blood, power, movement, and our essential elements of life. Breath, the same creative act the Father uses to inflate the lungs of Adam, is replicated by the Son, this time into the hearts of the apostles. The Holy Spirit, who is Lord and giver of life, proceeds from the Father and the Son. Thomas may not have been the first to encounter the risen Christ, but he is certainly a faithful witness. His fear and doubt are more telling of his pain than of his faith or lack thereof. Well, John writes to the seven churches of his day, quoting Jesus and saying, "There is nothing to fear." He speaks of Jesus as the Alpha and Omega, who once was dead but now lives forever. Friends, it is this living Jesus who continues to call all the baptized to join him on the only path into the mystery of divine mercy. Yes, Jesus invites you and I today, just as he did Thomas. Come, brother, sister, peace. Put your finger right here into this now glorified body. Download your suffering right here. Examine carefully my hands. See the marks hammer and nails have made. Truly, ours is a God who understands pain and suffering. Through the Father's only begotten Son, believers are restored and unbound. The lingering consequences of sin, suffering, and even death deposited at the foot of the cross and in the empty tomb. Could any act express more the incredible depth of God's love? The empty tomb, friends, is not an ending, but is more the womb of God, from where life is rebirthed and made eternal. Thomas attends to his faith personally, carefully, and pragmatically, and we are prudent to do likewise. Mercy is, after all, the pragmatic expression of God's love. No one should say they love who show no mercy. Divine mercy extended to the apostles through the blood of the Father's only begotten Son and breath of the Holy Spirit triggers a procession that invites all the baptized. I think the question before us today is, will we take our place in that holy dance? Friends, where there is pain and suffering, there is opportunity to bring great love and mercy. Saint Faustina knew that very well. Perhaps the reason suffering and pain even exists is to serve as the object of divine mercy. Just the shadow of Peter draws crowds bringing their sick and suffering. The apostles who are now free, restored, and healed of their brokenness cannot keep up with the inflow of God's love. Their hearts configured to seek out and animate mercy on every occasion. This past summer, my brother's only son suffered heart failure and is kept alive today by an external ventricular assist device as he awaits a heart transplant. I watched as a huge medical team wheeled him off to surgery. I had only one request. He said, "Uncle, can we go to the mountains and check out some waterfalls when I'm better?" He told me he didn't want to die. And while this Thomas promised he would do those things exactly, it was not without some doubt. We signed ourselves in silence and with prayer, faith, and skill, surrendered to God's mercy. Months later, we indeed enjoyed that promised time together at Cameron Falls and Red Rock Canyon, and then again last Sunday in Grand Prairie. We gathered this time to praise God as we baptized our family's latest edition, little 7-pound Finn O'Toole, already with long guitar-picking fingers. And so, friends, be optimistic when Jesus enters your daily life, pointing you towards suffering. Don't ignore him, but instead answer joyfully with Thomas's great profession of faith, "My Lord and my God." Amen.